track session number 20118, reel 3.
Mr. Kelly, reel 3. So you were saying that you were not discontented with being in Egypt.
Oh no, I liked it.
And you said that somebody's voice came over on the tannoy announcing this strike when you're in the Nefi.
Yeah.
Did you know who this person was?
No. No, we were told that we would be quizzed later on, you know, to see if we could identify these people. Well, nobody was going to say, oh, it was so-and-so, so-and-so, because we never knew what it was. It was just a voice. It could have been any one of a thousand men that was out there.
And do you know the dates when this happened about?
Oh, no. No, I'm afraid the dates, I can't.
Do you know which month it was?
No. No. No dates.
Had you been in Tel Kabir very long when this happened?
I think I must have been in there probably about 6 months. So it must have been in the summer, or our summer, you know, around maybe June or July.
In 46?
Yeah.
And...
Well, it can't have been... it must have been around that, because it wasn't long before I went on layup. And I went on layup in the January. So in between and the strike and me going on layup, I'd already got to go to Kantara for 6 weeks. And then I had to be sent to this other camp in which we were there just doing guards and odds and ends, you know. Because, as I say, Christmas Day, I was on this particular guard duty, so there must have been only about 4 months in between from the strike to me going on leave.
So, if you were happy in Egypt and you weren't bothered about demob, why was it that when this voice said, let's go on strike, why did you join them?
Well, it was just for the fun of joining it. I mean, why be the odd man out when everybody else was going? The point was, if you stick together, well, I always thought, if you stuck together, then, you know, there'd be no sort of comeback. I mean, I'd been a little bit of a rogue in the army, so it was a matter of, like, well, it's supposed to be this and that and the other, it won't go with us, you see. But it wasn't that. It was just, I don't know, I'd had a few drinks in the Nefi before this thing happened, and I thought, well, why not go along with them, see what's going on? More curiosity than anything else. But we didn't know what it was all about. All he said was, we're on strike because of the demob. So it would have affected me, you see, the demob, if they had have decided to have stopped it. Now, I like the Middle East, but I was still wanting to go home on demob, if you follow me. So that's why I went. I went to be curious. And when I got to know that everything was just mumbo-jumbo, I decided to go back to my bed, along with some of the other lads.
What do you mean, everything was mumbo-jumbo?
Well, there were so many people shouting, oh, the airborne are with us, and the infantry at so-and-so are always with us. And this business about when we get our own way, we'll get it back to normal, you see. And it was a form of... somebody was shouting one thing and somebody else was shouting another thing, and they were just arguing and with each other about why are we doing this and one thing and another. And in the end, it was chaotic. and people were just getting up and going away because they couldn't make any sense out of what was supposed to be going on. They had told us, don't do any work, we're on strike, and that's it. Well, strike meant strike, don't do anything, military-wise. Obey some orders, like if you're told to parade, parade. If you're told to march, march. But if you're told to do that, then you say, no, you don't do it. And if you're all together, they've got to either charge every one of you for refusing to obey an order, or nobody. Now, you see, that's what happened to us. When we were told to parade that particular morning, and we marched from our small parade ground past these armed soldiers to the camp where we were, you know, the workplace. We had no naffy break or anything like that. And somebody decided to go over the desert to this camp, you see, and get their things at their camp. And we did, and we got caught. Well, they brought us this food in, but they didn't tell us that we were going to be on a charge the following day. And we, the 14 of us that had gone out, were put on a charge, and we were all given 7 days CB each for disobeying an order and not staying where we were put. And they couldn't very well say 7 days confined to barracks, because there were no barracks. We couldn't be confined to anywhere because we were nowhere. We were in one big area and that was it. We couldn't go out onto the desert, or at least I managed to get out onto the desert, but they gave us 7 days defaulters, and all we were doing was working in the guard room, cleaning Bren guns, emptying magazines, cleaning them, oiling them, and putting the ammunition back into the magazine. And everything we were doing was with weapons. So how did they give us a job on weapons, and yet we were supposed to be nasties? We're supposed to be bad people. And yet they give us a job like that. Well, if we'd have had anything about us, we could have said, right, oh, well, we've got the ammo and we've got the weapons, we'll take over now. But nothing like that happened, because it was fruitless. There was no point in it. As I say, I like the Middle East, but I still wanted to come home and him up. It wasn't a matter of that I wanted to sign on or anything like that in the army, because I didn't. Now, probably if I'd have been in a different regiment, I'd probably be a different person altogether. And then, who knows? Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'd have just been the same.
Which regiment would you have preferred to have been in?
Pardon?
Which regiment would you have preferred to have been in?
Well, I wasn't any particular regiment. It was any regiment, apart from this one that was working. Because when I went into the army, I didn't even know what the ROC meant. And when I eventually got back from Hereford to go to Durham, you know, for me final briefing sort of thing, they said, you're going to the ROC? And I said, well, what's the ROC? And the lads that were with me that came back from Hereford, Oda was saying, oh, it's a commando place, you know, it's a Royal Army commander, I thought, gosh, you know. But as I said, nobody knew what it meant. I didn't even know, and even the instructors, well, if they knew, they didn't tell me. And as I say, I went there, 1st of April, 1944. And I thought, well, this is... Because, as I say, I went over there with my rifle and everything. And I thought, oh, this will be all right. But it wasn't until I got into it that I knew that it was just a work regiment. I suppose if it had been in Germany, they'd have called it a labour brigade or a labour company.
Coming back to the strike, again, just to go over one or two things. When this voice came over the tannoy and said that everybody should go on strike, were your comrades discontented about demob as well?
Well, I don't know, I never asked them, but we all went.
Where did you go from to? You were in the Naffy?
We were in the Naffy.
And where did you go to?
The football ground. Because we had a big football stadium in the camp, in the garrison anyway, and it wasn't very far from our Naffy.
And about how many people were there?
Oh, well, this only affected the camp I was in. You see, there were camps, there weren't companies. You know, you've got A company and B company. Well, we didn't have companies, we had camps. And I suppose a camp would consist of about maybe three companies in military terms. And they were all on different jobs. You see, we had MT, we had clothing, we had carpentry, woodworking, there was ammunition. There must have been about 10 or 12 different branches of ordnance areas, and they were all doing one particular job.
So, were there hundreds of men at this football ground?
Oh, yes, it was crowded, packed.
Thousands?
Oh, no, there wouldn't have been 1,000, no. I should think it was dark, of course, but I would imagine that there was about 300 at least.
So, what time of evening would it have been?
Then, it would be about 9:30 at night. Because we'd been in the Naffy for maybe a couple of hours when the lights went out. It was because when the lights went out, that was it. The bar shutter went down because it was a wet canteen, you see. You could get beer.
And was there somebody there addressing the crowd?
Well, like I say, there was about 4 or 5 shouting. There was nobody in particular addressing it, because I think they tried to keep a low profile, so that nobody would actually say, oh, it was Charlie Smith or Bill Doings. Now, the thing is, we, in our camp, thought that we were the only people that were in this strike. What was happening in other camps in the garrison, we never knew anything about. Because, supposing it was A company, B company and C company, well, if we were A company, we knew that we were taking part in this. But we didn't know what these were doing. And so the point was, it was us, not the others. And a camp, as you know, contains one element of troops, and the other camps, we never knew anything about it. Now, it was only a couple of months ago when I started talking to this fella in Felixstowe about it, and he said, oh yes, I remember it, he said, some of our sergeants, he said, got detention for it. And I said, well, I never knew that. I never knew what happened anywhere else in the garrison, you see. And I don't think any of the other lads did. If they did, they never said anything. Because, personally, I wasn't bothered about it. It happened, and that was it. All I was waiting for was my demob. And while I was in the Middle East, I was going to enjoy it. Which I did. Because, say, we're lazy. I was really lazy, because it was a matter of getting up and parading sometimes, or I could probably stay in bed until dinner time. Nobody bothered me, because it was a matter of, where's Kelly? Oh, he's a bit so-and-so. Oh, well, all right then. And there was no discipline, if you could call it discipline. But we were quizzed by the SIB as to if we knew anybody or knew who it was that was doing all the shouting. But I mean,
the organising, you mean?
Well, they call them organisers. But there were nobody that I know arrested or charged with it in our camp, except us. To be quite honest, I thought we were the only people that got anything out of it by being sentenced to 7 days CB.
Was that the 14 who went to the Polish Nefe?
Well, you're going there, yeah.
So when you got to the football ground, how long did you stay there?
Oh, I think I was there maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Because somehow, as I say, I was drifting away before that, and I got fed up, and I said to my mate, hey, I'm going back, are you coming? Yeah, why not? And we went back to our huts and got our head down, and that was it. As far as that night was concerned, we were in Kip. And it was only the following morning that this banging on the door woke us up. Mind you, they said before we left, before you go, don't forget, tomorrow morning, no work, nothing, do whatever is required. But don't do any work, you're on strike. And anything like that in civil life, it would have been just one day token strike, wouldn't it?
And so there was a banging on the door in the morning, and who was that?
I don't know, it was some NCO, but it was a case of banging on the door, waking us up and telling us to get out on parade, which we did, because we didn't know what it was for. We'd been told, if you parade, go, but anything else, no work. Which meant everybody, cooks, clerks, general jurymen, MT, the other characters, you know, that there were other depots, do nothing. It's a matter of go there and stay. It would have called a sit-down strike sort of thing. And we paraded and we were told to march, which we thought we were going for breakfast. But they told us to march, and we finished up on this small parade ground that we had to fall in on when we were going on guard duty. Because there was a little armoury at the side. But this RSM got us all paraded together and then started reading this about the riot act and one thing and another, you know, which I didn't know what they were on about. I could just hear him mumbling because I'm half asleep, to be quite honest. And then it was a case of, right, fall in again and go march towards your workplaces. Well, we were going to march there, but we weren't going to do anything when we got there. And that's when we passed all these troops on the side of the road with the rifles and the Bren guns and pistols, Sten guns and what have you. And it was kind of exciting in a way. And yet, on the other side of the road, there was a German prisoner of war camp. And I thought, well, what a showing up. Here we are, we're having to march past armed men, and the Germans are only across the road from them, prisoners or inmates. No, they weren't prisoners anyway, they were just inmates. And that was it, you see. Nothing happened then until we decided to go to the
next. So you were marched where to?
We were marched to a crossroad. And then each section separated and went to their own area. Well, when we separated, we didn't march, we just walked. The remainder of the parade went elsewhere. I can't describe the camp itself because I've forgotten it. I'd like to see a plan of that. But there were a crossroad, and the crossroad went to our camp and the football ground, and the other road went past the main armoury, and there was another small road which went to where we were working on this little compound of ours. And so when we got to this more or less crossroads, we fell out and marched. Well, there was about 18 or 20 of us. There was about nine or ten from my section, you know, the work section, and there were others that were a bit further up, maybe two or three from one section, and they all stayed with us because we had an NCO, of course, walking along with us, and it kept those with us so that we could all be together instead of saying, well, where's the rest of them? Oh, there's four over there, and there's two there, and there's one over there, you see. So that was the idea, how we got 14 men going to the NAFI. Otherwise, there'd only been seven of us. And then, of course, there was the ones that didn't want to know, you know, the ones that were, oh, I'm not going to do this and I ain't going to do that. So that was it.
They were going to do what?
You know, they weren't going to take part in anything. If they were told to do anything, they were going to do it. They weren't taking part in the strike. But, of course, they couldn't do anything because there were no German prisoners up there. There was no natives. They hadn't let the natives in. And they hadn't allowed the German prisoners of war out. So we had no vehicle and we had no driver. And we had no trucks coming in. So everything was at a standstill. And all we did was just sat there, slept, played darts, sometimes played cards for a couple of hours until somebody said, well, what about the NAFI break? Because every morning we had a NAFI break. We had a German driver take a van, well, take a three-tonner to the NAFI. Now, on that three-tonner, we'd put a tea urn and a couple of these baker's trays. And so those went to the NAFI and got the tea and the bread and brought it back. And we had our break. And then at dinner time, we went back to camp. After dinner, we went back to work. But this particular day, there was nothing done. There were no drivers, there were no trucks, there was nothing anywhere. I mean, even the cooks, there were no cooks in the cookhouse. There was no work done there. Because after we had that some sandwiches and that tea, one of the drivers said, the dinner will be late, but we'll come for you and bring you back. And we're not going to, I was walking back, they were going to come put us in a truck and take us back to camp for our dinner. And we got our dinner about 2:30 in the afternoon. And then we had to go back, not for any work at all, but to be interviewed by these police, SIB men, you see, asking, you know, I went in, and he says, were you there? And I says, you know, I was, where was I, where, you know? And they said, were you on this parade thing they had at the football? Yeah. Who was it that were in doing a? I said, I don't know. You know, and so it went on and on and on. Eventually, did you know him? And he kept on about, did you know him? Did you know him? I said, well, I thought, I'm not saying anything, because if I say something that he don't like, he's going to say, oh yes, oh, this fellow's been in detention 28 days. Oh, and he's had this against him, 7 days CB for, you know, cheekiness while he's in Derby. So he could be one of the instigators, you see. And I wasn't going to let them get something on me that I didn't know. Anyway, it fizzled out. The following day, it was back to normal. I mean, it was only 24, 36 hours, that's all. It was nothing really. But it was still something that happened.
Was there any political influence at all in Tel El Kebir?
Any?
Politics or political parties or political influence?
I don't think so, no. Anyway, I didn't know nothing about politics. I can remember as a kid, we used to go out on voting days and we used to go around the streets and we used to say, vote for Mr. Brown. You can't vote for a better man. Now, we were kids at the time and we used to say that, but we didn't know what it meant. And we eventually grew up and we still didn't know. Somebody said, what's Labour? I would have said, work. Or what's a Conservative? I don't know. Or a Liberal. Because politics didn't interest us. And they didn't interest me in the army. There may have been some Reds amongst them, but I don't know. No, I don't think it was anything to do with politics. It might have been a bit of political with the government, you see, deciding to do this. But whether it was the government that were going to do this, or maybe it was the army authority.
How do you feel now about having been in the army?
Well, I enjoyed it, really. Even for what bother I got into and what punishment I got out of it. But I look upon it as, I don't know, experience, probably, or something that had to be done. Now, if I'd have had the choice, I wouldn't have gone into the army, I'd have gone into the Navy, but I didn't have the choice.
Why the Navy?
I don't know. I fancied the Navy more than the army. I mean, my dad was in the army, and my brother, he got called up in 1939 with the Territorial Army, and he only lives just over the road, and he went to, he was with the West Yorkshire TA in York. He went to Iceland for a period. He then went to North Africa as he was transferred from the West York to the DLI.
And what about your father? What was he in?
My dad was in the Coilies, in a machine gun corps.
In the First World War?
Yeah. But my dad died in 1941.
Was he a professional soldier or was he just up for the duration of the war?
No, it was just the duration. I've got a brother-in-law, two brother-in-laws that were professional soldiers, but it was not choice, it was just something that they wanted to do.